You're listening to the Disrupt Up Radio Show with Joe on K-Talk Radio, AM 630 Salt Lake City.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Disrupt Up Radio right here on K-Talk 630 AM. Also, happy to announce that we've been picked up in Memphis, Tennessee, and you can hear us there on WMQM as well. In studio, we have Boyd Tuttle. He is president of Digital Legend Press. And he has some pretty spectacular news. I call it earth-shattering in the sense that it will really change the way we look at everything. And Boyd, I know that's a lot to live up to, but I think what you're talking about really has the power to do that. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here, Joe.
So there's a new book coming out, and what's the name of the book?
The book is called The Universal Model of Science, A New Millennial Science.
And I'm not going to kid you, it strikes me as kind of like quantum mechanics in the sense that I think I understand it, but then there's so much that you don't understand. And when you talk about the universal model of science, what is that and how is it changing everything?
Well, let's just be clear that the purpose of the universal model is to restore truth and order in science by identifying new natural laws. And as some people have been able to observe, new natural laws is not something that any of us living today have ever experienced. I mean, we think about gravity and thermodynamics, and those are all things that happened back in the 1700s, 1800s. But when was the last law of science defined in any of our lifetimes? And the answer is, it wasn't. The last one defined was in 1905. And so what this means is that we've had a lot of theories, and these theories have not graduated unto laws. And that's the nature of theories. You put forward a postulate, you try it, you test it, you experiment, and eventually it works out in every condition, which means it's no longer a theory, it becomes a law. Well, we don't have any of those for over 100 years, which makes us kind of like in a crisis situation, because a lot of the technology that has developed based on the old science is allowing us to observe things that we simply cannot explain with our current world of science.
So why aren't we seeing these theories graduating into laws? I mean, did we stop testing them? Do we stop believing in them? Why aren't we, if the last law of science was 1905, what we're pouring these millions and billions of dollars into science and, technology is different than science, into science, why, if we're not graduating them into laws?
Well, and this gets to the root of what the universal model is all trying to do, and that is it's literally redefining the very fabric of science, the very foundations, because you can't just go in point by point and change one little thing. You have to go back and look at the entire picture and correct all of the things that are wrong. And there are a lot of things, assumptions that were made 200 years ago that we can simply disprove today with our modern technology. They just don't stand up anymore. And I'll give you one example. Magma. Magma, we are told, is inside the Earth, but yet magma has never been observed. It's never been measured. It's never been mathematically calculated. And in fact, magma is an anomaly in the sense that modern science clearly does not support its existence, yet the narrative and the paradigm for so long has been that magma is inside the Earth. Everything is based on that. And with that wrong assumption, that wrong foot forward, everything that follows also is problematic. And so you really have to go back to the very roots of our of the basic sciences and correct them there to get the answers.
So is the universal model of science, is that a mechanism that we can test these theories, or what is the universal model of science?
So the universal model of science is a book that is been 27 years in the development. The author has been working on this for a long, long time, and finally it's come to fruition. On October 15th, it came, to the world, and now anybody can go and look at it for themselves. What it does is introduces new laws of science, and this is something, like I said, we haven't seen. Now, people argue these laws, but would you go and you can verify them and validate them? Some of them you can test in your own kitchen, and they're simply true, and they refute laws that we've held on to for 200 years. And one of the most basic of these is how rocks are formed. There's been the taught thing that we've been taught is that they come out of a melt out of the core of the earth, and that they eventually push up through the crust of the earth, and that they all come out of a melt process. Well, if that was true, then why does all rock have water in it? And that's something we don't learn in geology, is that all rock contains water. Hmm. In fact, here in I don't have it in the studio, but I have a rock called an enhydro. And anybody can Google an enhydro, E-N-hydro, and see that these are rocks that naturally are found that contain water inside of them, just like a little water bubble that you might use for, a Christmas decoration. It's filled with water. Now, how did that happen if it came out of a melt, out of the middle of the magma earth? And so there are a lot of these anomalies that we explain through the new hyperthermal law of how rocks form. High for hydro, pre for pressure, and therm for heat. Water, heat, and pressure are the recipe for making rock. And it's also the recipe for making fossils, which is quite an interesting thing, because in the laboratory we have actually made petrified wood. We've made fossils and can show these to any gemologist or geologist, and they date them to be 4.5 million years old. But in fact, they're 2 weeks old in this particular case.
So how is modern science off by like 3.9999 million years?
Again,
like
these
how does that happen?
Yeah, these assumptions that were made. I mean, there's just some great things that come out of the universal model of science, the book. And one part of it is it talks a lot about the history, okay? And the history of science is something that, to the victor go the spoils. And whoever wins a scientific argument seems to then rule the day. And it's one of the fascinating parts of that I had read in the book that really kind of captured me. And just so you know, I was disclosed on this 3 years ago. So I had a kind of an unfair advantage. I've been able to really get into this for a long time. I've been not able to talk about it until just last month. And so it's great to finally be able to talk about all this that I've had inside of me. Excuse me. But the thing that is fascinating is how we can take these new laws and actually demonstrate them. And the history is, there's a great story about the Neptunists and the Vulcanists. And anybody can Google this, and you find out that a couple of hundred years ago, longer than that, 1799, there was a great debate going on between those that believed that there was water inside the earth versus those that believed there was magma inside the earth. And they were called the Neptunists and the Vulcanists. And the Neptunists were winning all of the debates until it got to one about where does lava come from. And they said that it was burning coal in the crust of the earth. Well, now we know that's not true. And so they lost on that one battle and subsequently lost the war. And we've never heard of the Neptunists since the late 1700s. But they were actually right about their claims of being water inside the earth. And so that's one of the principles that the UN will bring forward.
I've got to tell you, it really does cause you to look at the basic fundamentals that we've been taught, but that's not unusual. Look, they were saying Pluto was a planet as long as I've been around, and then one day I woke up and read in the paper that, well, Pluto's no longer a planet. So these changes do happen. Let me ask you this. How does the universal model take into account biblical stories? For instance, we have the story of Noah and the flood. Does the universal model treat this as typical science does, or is there a different approach to the stories in the Bible and the universal model?
Okay, that's such a great question, because the universal model is not a religious book. It's not creation science. It doesn't quote scripture. But there is a chapter in there called The Universal Flood, and it talks about the well-known fact among scientists that a flood indeed did cover the earth. The only question among scientists is when that happened. It's never been a question about whether there was a huge flood that covered the earth. And you can see that in other scientific writing. So they recognize that there was a flood. What we put forward in the universal model using actual empirical evidence is that we know that the flood actually happened, and we know where the water came from. And I've just referenced it earlier, talking about what's inside the earth, give a big clue there. And that water that is inside the Earth actually came out onto the surface because of some astronomical forces that were acting upon the Earth, causing the crust actually to collapse downward into the water that's inside the Earth. And that is what led to the flood, which also is what produced the fossils, because of the tremendous pressures that you have at 30,000 feet deep of water is about 13,000 PSI. When you take heat, water, and pressure and pulverized quartz, which is what we've been able to replicate in the laboratory, you will produce fossils and rocks of all kinds. And so we replicate that and can talk about how this flood actually took place, and we know when it took place, 4,361 years ago, and next year it'll be 362. So we have literally a snapshot of the Earth's existence at the time of the flood because of all the clear evidence. And this chapter on the universal flood is actually the biggest chapter in the book, over 400 pages.
Wow. So how big is the book?
The book itself is 2,000 pages. Keeping in mind the Bible is only 1,548. But the first volume, there's three volumes, and the first volume has come out on October 15th, and you can find it by going to as in Universal Model, science.com. Anybody can go there, and there's about 150 pages you can just breeze through on the website just to learn a lot more about this. And you can also learn about the event that's coming up this Friday, where the author, who's from Phoenix, Arizona, will be here in town at the Salt Lake Community Center at the Miller campus, giving a presentation on this at 7 to 9 this Friday evening.
Let me one more question on this, Boyd, because I'm fascinated by it. How does the universal model take into account the dinosaurs, dinosaur fossils, that whole part of our history?
It's part of the flood chapter. Interestingly enough, is that what we find is that the dinosaurs were here prior to the flood, and they were wiped out in the flood. They were one of the animals that did not get on the ark, let's just say that. And we find many, many evidences to prove that. The average depth of fossil dinosaur bones that are found throughout the world, and they're found in every continent, in every state in the United States, and every landmass in the world, there are dinosaur bones. And the average depth at which they are found, you would think, you know, hundreds of feet down in the, you know, deep, deep, dark depths of the ancient, geologic record. But in fact, it's 22 feet.
Hmm.
So they're really all on the very surface of the Earth, all these fossils. In fact, almost all the fossils that we find are very close to the surface, and we don't see that geological record going down deep into the layers of the Earth.
And what are we supposed to extract from that? That the dinosaurs aren't as old as science would normally tell us, or?
Yeah. I mean, if the flood happened 4,300 years ago, then that's all the older the dinosaurs' fossils would be. And we've been able to demonstrate in the laboratory that the fossils can be made in as little as 48 hours.
Wow. So let me ask you this. Who are you expecting this book to appeal to? I have to tell you, it sounds intriguing. I'm looking at some of the questions that the universal model answers. You know, why are all planets and moons spheres? What is the structure of the Earth's interior? I mean, some really basic challenges to our fundamental understanding. Who is your target audience?
You know, this book has been written at about a high school to college level. It's accessible by anybody. You certainly do not need any advanced degrees to understand it, although there are hundreds and I think literally thousands of citations and references to journals and scientific publications. They're all spelled out and spoken and very easy to understand. So we have students right now at junior high level who are reading this, and we have homeschoolers that are adopting it. We have a private school that's looking at it, is using it for their curriculum. And so there's a high degree of accessibility at all ages.
You know, we're talking to Boyd Tuttle. He is the president of Digital Legend Press. Two things I want to comment to make sure that the audience understands. They are doing an event this Friday, December 9th, at the SLCC Miller Campus Auditorium in Sandy. where the author is going to come and present his findings from the Universal Model book. You can learn more about the event, and you can also order the book at umscience.com. That's umscience.com. You can also call for more information, 801-810-7781. That's 801-810-7781. It is an absolutely fascinating book. Let me just ask you, Boyd, and in the few seconds we have left, tell me about the author. What is his background? What is his training?
Well, if we just have a few seconds, let me say one thing, because they can learn that on the website, okay?
Okay.
But the one thing that our readers will want to know is the my company is a corporate sponsor, and they can type in legends when they check out, the word legends, and they'll get 35% off the cost of the book.
Wow. Again, umscience.com, type in legends, L-E-G-E-N-D-S, get 35% off the book. We'll be back right after this break.